1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is writing to the church. And he writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames and have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." It's that time of year again. The next few days are going to be incredibly important for many people. I'm sure you noticed that retail outlets have already been pushing all the Valentine's Day material out there. Chocolates, cards, and in the next few days, many, many flowers will be going out. Who doesn't like flowers? Well, maybe somebody with severe allergies might not. I read of one couple, and maybe, I don't know, you tell me if I should try this or not. I read of one couple who went to the store together, picked out Valentine's cards for each other, exchanged them, and then put them back into the store, and they were done. Simple as that. Isn't that a great idea? Heather, you think we should try that this year? Of course, restaurants are getting busy for their big day. I've already seen some advertisements. You probably have too. Some people will be going all out, getting their hair done, buying a new outfit. All of this and so much more in an effort to declare one's love to somebody else. And while it's certainly good and even biblical for us to love one another, the reality is that love is something that doesn't seem to be doing very well these days. It just seems to come and go so quickly. You don't have to look very far to see that this is true. There are many, many people who have had difficulty. Many who have had broken relationships. Some of you have been there. And I believe one of the reasons why we struggle with holding on to love is because I don't know if we really understand what it is in the first place. We learn about love and how love works from the wrong sources. When I was young, that source was the television, wasn't it? The TV would cater to all ages. As a child, well, we had all sorts of Disney movies, right? And who doesn't know what love is from watching Disney? I mean, Robin Hood is my favorite example. I love that film, by the way. Great movie. But you know how it ends. The hero and the maiden are riding off into the sunset, and we're told that love goes on and on. It is just so simple as that. It is so easy. Once you love, it's just, that's it. For others, they get their idea of love, sadly, from romance novels. Just enough, just the cover is enough to make me gag. Whoever said you cannot judge a book by its cover was not referring to romance novels. Those you can judge by the cover, okay? I give you permission. You can say, my pastor said. Fairy tales, movies, books, and now, of course, we have the internet. They all bombard us with what love is supposed to look like. The problem is, these are not true depictions of love. They're fairy tales. The media teaches a glamorized version of love as something that you fall into. You have no control over it. It's automatic. You're helpless. And when you fall into it, that's it. It's like you've won the jackpot. You're happy for the rest of your life. And for far too many people, they learn the hard way that it doesn't quite work that way. Love takes a lot of work. The truth is, the love that we find in the media is really a hoax. It's not true. There's a lot more to love than romance and passion and infatuation. All those things, they have a place. If you're married, for those of you who are married, if you're not married, close your ears. If you're married, I encourage you, go for it. Get romantic. Build some passion, buy the flowers, give a long, lingering hug, wear something a little adventurous at home. Write a love letter, go on a second or third honeymoon. Romance is a wonderful thing. But if romance is a thing that we base a relationship on and we think that we're in love, we're going to be in for a surprise. Because while romance is one way that we express love, it is not at all the same thing as love. Many relationships begin with that, and I understand that. You see someone, and for whatever reason, you're attracted to them. That's good, that's normal, but love is something entirely different. It is developed, it is deeper. Romance will never see a marriage through tough times. When things get tough, to put it another way, when the diapers pile up or fill up, it's even worse. When quiet evenings around a fireplace with your spouse are replaced with noisy, wild nights with sick children. You been there? When spending with reckless abandon or freedom is replaced with pinching pennies. A couple needs more than warm fuzzies to keep them going. There's got to be a better way, and of course there is. It begins by learning the true meaning of what love is. And we won't learn it from the media. If we want to know what love really is, we need to turn to the author of love, and that, of course, is God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says that God is love. Think about that for a moment. God doesn't just love, he does love, but God is love. If you want to think of what love is, what it could be described as, what can personify love, the scripture says God. God, he doesn't just love, he does love, but he is. He is the being of love. So if we want to learn what love is, we do well to turn to God's word. I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago when we were in Advent, one of the themes of Advent was love. And the focus of that message was that love is an action word. God didn't simply, you know, lament our sinful condition and throw up his hands and say, oh, well, those poor people, they deserve what they're getting. Let them suffer. Because he loves us, he showed the full extent of his love. That was basically the theme of the message about 2 months ago. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reminds us that God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is love. He showed us the full extent of his love. He demonstrated his love. If we want to know what love looks like, we need to look to God. And not only did God love us and all that that entails with its sacrifice, he commanded us to do likewise. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you," there's the example, "as I have loved you," not as what you see on the television or media, what you feel, but "as I have loved you," with sacrifice, with giving, with compassion, with forgiveness, "as I have loved you, love one another." And then the reason is given next: "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples." In other words, John is saying the proof is in the pudding, where you are showing your love to somebody else. That is how people will know that you are my disciples: if you love one another. And so we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which I read earlier on. It's often called the love chapter in the New Testament. And truthfully, this chapter is not written at all to couples. It certainly applies to couples, but it is not intended for couples. It's intended for the church. It's intended for the church. It was written to the church, and particularly written to a church that was having problems, that was having conflicts, that were with people who were not getting along. And it's written to them to describe, listen, buddy, you can do all kinds of wonderful things. You can get up on the platform. You could sing a solo. You could teach a Sunday school. You can get baptized. You can whatever you want, sit on the committee. But if you don't love, what Paul is telling the church is, it's empty. You're just making noise. And so he goes through and talks about love, not in a romantic way, but what we are to do with one another, how we're to treat one another. And so he says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It does rejoice with the truth. It does protect. It does trust. It does hope. It does persevere. Paul is telling the church, this is how you need to treat one another. This is how you need to function. Be patient with one another. In spite of wrongs, in spite of irritations, in spite of things that don't always go right, love rises above the petty things and is generous in the way it treats others. It's easy to love those who are lovable, and I could think of many people who are lovable, but it's more difficult to love those who are difficult. And you can probably think of people who are difficult. Maybe in your workplace. I don't know. Maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe in your home. Maybe in your church. We only need to think of Christ's patience with Peter after Peter had denied him And yet Christ was patient. Love is patient. It bears with wrongs. It responds with kindness. It does not envy. Envy and love cannot coexist. When you love, you wish the other person well. Love does not envy. It cannot. And yet, how hard it is not to envy. You know, when we think that somebody else has it so good. Oh, they have it so good. Love does not do that. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's a tough one. Because we remember wrongs. This is a tough one. It's especially needs to be practiced in marriages, but in all relationships. Don't hang on to the wrongs that people have done against you or against somebody else and hold it against them. Don't keep holding on to things against those who have done wrong. We've all made mistakes. We all have regrets. When you love, you don't keep a record of that. Because why would you keep a record? The only reason you'd keep a record is so that you can hold it against somebody later on. And so when they do something down the road, you say, I knew you were no good. I knew you'd mess up again. A month ago, last time we were in this situation, you did the same thing. Love does not do that. And I know it's not easy to not do that. But that was my point. Love is hard. Love is not just some warm, fuzzy feeling that butterflies and everything's great. It's hard. Because it goes so much against the grain of selfish nature. Because when you love, you can't be selfish. The world sees love completely different than the biblical understanding of love. For the world, love is getting what pleases you and satisfies you. And as long as I am receiving something, then I can love. Right? That's how the world teaches it. But for the Christian, love involves giving yourself to please the other. For the world, love is often passion. For the Christian, love is patience. For the world, love is good only as long as it lasts. The feeling is there. For the Christian, love is permanent. It's not based on a feeling. It's based on a fact. In short, for the world, love is essentially selfish. We love in the worldly sense, even with selfish motives, so that we get. We want to be wanted. We want to receive. And I'm not saying those are bad things, but that's often why what our love is based on is so that we can get. For the Christian, love is essentially a sacrifice. It's not all that glamorous. Jesus getting crucified, before that, beaten. Not very glamorous, but it was love. Love is not something that happens automatically when, you know, two eyes lock onto each other, or two pairs of eyes. Love happens when persons are prepared to set aside themselves in order for somebody else to do well. This is true in marriages. This is true in our relationships within the church. This is certainly true in our relationship with God. If we love God, we have to die to ourselves. In each case, love compels us to give and not seek a return. Just as Christ showed us what love is. In closing, I want to leave you with just one more scripture, and it'll be up on our wall in a moment. A scripture verse from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, where again Paul writes, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Our example of love is Christ. Not very glamorous. Just as he loved us, just as he gave himself up for us, just as he yielded his desires for our sake, so we must do for one another. I want to encourage you this year. Don't be disappointed on Valentine's Day. Somebody does love you, truly loves you more than life itself, and he was literally willing to die for you. In fact, he did. He has shown us the full extent of his love, and he commands us to do likewise in the way we love people in our family, in the way we love people in our church and community, and most certainly in the way that we love God himself. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you this day, Lord, and Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your teaching, your example on love, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that you would help me and each one of us here to get our cues on what love looks like and what love really is from you, from your word, from your example. And Father God, as we have received and experienced the love of God, so great, so undeserving, and yet you gave, you demonstrated, you showed the full extent of your love. Father God, as we have been recipients of that, by the grace of God, Lord, help us to be administrators of that, to give it out to others. And Lord, where we have failed, where we have perhaps withheld love in anger, perhaps where we have kept records of wrongs, or in some other way, Lord, didn't meet the teachings in your word, I pray, Father God, that you would forgive us and strengthen us, Lord, to be people of love, just as you have loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.